Let's get to work here. Rick Becker, you can always tell when somebody obviously must be close to the front of the campaign in terms of the polls show that they're either leading or close to being leading, those type of things, because then the negative flyers go out, the negative ads go out, and it's always kind of paid for by an organization where you got to go to the Secretary of State's website to just see who paid for that one. Well, in Rick Becker's case, former state representative candidate for the United States Congress, it's begun. Let's get him on. Rick, good to have you back on News and Views.
Thanks, Joel. Happy to be on, as always.
Some obvious questions for you. You ready? Why yep. are you for illegal immigration?
Well, shockingly, I'm not for illegal immigration.
That's what this flyer I'm looking at right now says. You would open the door for illegal immigration and more crime.
Yeah. You know, isn't that funny? It kind of sounds like the opposite of what I've been saying for the last 6 years.
Well, it says you voted against President Trump's border wall.
Yeah.
Well, did you?
Okay, so no, there was no vote like that. So let me give you the breakdown. So you're talking about a flyer, there's text, there's radio ads, maybe there'll be TV coming. Brighter Future Alliance is a multi-candidate PAC, so there's dark money in there, as we call it, and it's put out by Pat Finken. Pat Finken is sort of like the grand wizard of the country club establishment Republicans, you know very well. So he broke away from his advertising job to start this PAC. And he has a systematic way of going about things. And what he does is tells lies. He finds a tiny bit of truth, and then he completely distorts it so badly it's just an overt lie. His goal in the primaries is to take out conservatives like myself, because he wants to protect the establishment Republicans, and then in the general to go after Democrats. So let's get right down to the meat of what you just asked me. So he's referencing, so this is what he does. He takes a real bill. So there was a resolution in 2019, and the resolution says, we North Dakota legislature urge our senators and congressmen to fund the border wall. That's what the resolution was. And I voted no on it, so he's correct in that regard. Now, there was no vote for or against the border wall. It was to urge our senators and congressmen. But here's the rub. 2 weeks before our vote, a spending bill was passed, and our senators voted for it, put out by McConnell and Schumer, and Pelosi also liked it, that had stripped out funding of the border wall. So we voted 2 weeks later to urge our members, our congressional delegation, to fund the border wall when they already passed a bill that had no funding of the border wall, which was they made the whole thing a complete joke. They completely let us Republicans down. And so the idea that I'm supposed to go along with this mockery and vote yes and pretend they didn't already completely fail us, I wasn't going to do that. So Pat Finken, the big liar, is saying, oh, he flip-flops. Now he wasn't for the border wall. Now he was. He says that he did a search on Facebook. Well, I believe he did. But what he's omitting is that a month or two before this vote came up, I was doing Facebook Lives like I frequently do. And I talked about the necessity of a border wall. So complete misrepresentation, a complete lie.
What I just heard you say, though, was establishment Republicans, Pat Finken basically supporting those establishment Republicans, which to me tells me that what we're talking about here is Julie Fedorchuk. So is this the Julie Fedorchuk campaign that's attacking you?
Indirectly, yes.
Okay. So let me ask you this.
By law,
It's a resolution. I sat in one of those chairs for 14 years. It's a resolution. The resolution is just a statement. Why didn't you vote for it?
Well, again, the idea, if we're taking our job seriously and we're actually intending the resolution to do what it says to do, it's to urge our people to vote a certain way. That vote already took place and they already voted the wrong way. So why? I mean, you're right. Just do it, right? Just do it. Be a mindless politician. Just vote yes, because that's what you're supposed to do. But the border wall, border security was important to me. And our guys let us down. And so to pretend that that vote didn't happen, to pretend that they didn't already strip out funding for the border wall seemed ridiculous to me.
So, okay, let's talk about this a little bit, because I made reference to the fact that when you're being attacked like this, some poll somewhere, some thought, you just got done saying Pat Finken was I want to make sure I get this quote right, the grand wizard of the country club establishment Republicans. Okay,
that's pretty good. I might use that again.
Okay, well, what you're saying, though, is that, you know, he knows, what I'm assuming is, he knows you've got a chance here, that if they're attacking you, it means in a poll you showed up, Rick.
Oh, yeah.
I mean, what are you seeing in your campaign? Are you raising money? Have you done any polling? I mean, how is this race going?
Yeah. So I can tell you, we did polling just before Tom Campbell got out of the race. So the polling we did is not going to be valuable at all now. But the polling we did do showed me in a significant lead over Julie Fedorchuk. Now, with Tom out of the race and then three other people coming in the race, those numbers, I'm sure, changed dramatically. We'll do polling again. But as it stands right now, I don't know where we're at. But I do know that I am clearly a threat to the establishment getting the seat again. In fact, Julie's running because the establishment was desperate to find somebody who would challenge me, because the establishment Republicans hate me more than the Democrats do.
So, you know, I'm looking at the flyer and it says you voted to defund law enforcement. You voted to defund the North Dakota Highway Patrol. Did you?
No. There has never been a bill in North Dakota to defund any law enforcement agency. So what they're talking about here is agency budget. And you know that I am a fiscal conservative, and you also know that I have been for all 10 years I was in the legislature saying, we, the state, are spending too much money. So when you're spending too much money, you try and hone in on, okay, what agencies are asking for far too much money. And on two occasions, I voted against the Attorney General's budget. So when you vote against a budget, you're not saying, I don't want any funding for anything in this budget. What you're saying is, hey, your 30% increase is a little too much. You're 12 additional full-time employees. That's a little too much. And so I'm going to vote no. And if the bill fails, it's going to go back to committee. You're going to have to trim down some of this fat. And then you bring it back to us, and then maybe we'll get it passed. So what? I voted no on Attorney General's agency budget because it was too bloated. So what they're saying is, well, what that means is everything in the budget Becker wanted $0 for, which, again, is just a flat-out lie.
Stick around, Representative. Former State Representative Rick Becker, he's also a doctor and a business owner, I should say, out of Bismarck. We're talking about some of the negative campaigning that has been taking place against him. We're visiting with a man that wants to be the next congressman from the great state of North Dakota. That is Representative Rick Becker. We're talking about the campaign that's being run against him. Representative Becker, let's talk a little bit about what you're going to do with the job. You mentioned in your previous segment that, you know, country club type Republicans. Do you consider Kevin Cramer and John Hoeven to be country club Republicans?
Well, John Hoeven certainly is. And Kevin I think over the last couple of years kind of been moving in that direction. Unfortunately, hopefully he moves back soon. But yeah, John has been fully established in the country club circle, well, since before he became governor. So, what I intend to do, what I represent is a general consensus that we are not in a good place in the United States for many reasons. But one of the most significant reasons is because of our habitual spending, our overspending, the amount of debt we've taken on, how we've saddled future generations with our debt. And there's no quick solution. What we must do is stop overspending, stop the deficit spending. And I think that getting people there who are accustomed to dealing with pressure, accustomed to standing by what they said they were going to do, to get them to Washington, D.C. So when these votes come and the pressure is applied to, well, just for now, go along with it, just pass this spending bill, just pass this continuing resolution, just raise the debt ceiling, just vote for this omnibus spending bill, someone needs to say no. And that's what I represent, is get a handle, not just saying no, but saying yes to being, I guess, spending the way we're supposed to. Don't spend more than you have. If we finally get a handle on just the budget, so we're not going further into debt, that's a huge victory. And we can do that just by sending a few more people that will have the gumption to stand by those principles.
I want to talk about the path to victory here for you. Alex Balazs is the individual that's nominated by your party, by the Republican Party, at the convention that you weren't allowed to run for that endorsement at. Okay, so you got Alex Balazs, who I think is more conservative than some of the others. You certainly are more conservative than the others. You've got Kara Mund, which she rightfully, I think, calls herself a moderate Republican, and you got Julie Fedorchuk. Here's my take on it. Kara Mund and Julie Fedorchuk take votes away from each other. Alex Balazs and Rick Becker take votes away from each other. That's just political strategy. How do you come out against the other three?
Well, the primary opponent, in my opinion, is Julie, because she's got a machine behind her. She's got this vast political Republican establishment machine behind her. Now, Kara, she's got a pretty big row to hoe in a Republican primary to be primarily about, you know, abortion and not being very fond of Trump. But she sees a path for herself by having the rest of us split up the vote in her mind. And then you've got Alex, and he's not very well known. I don't know how much reach he's going to get. I don't know what kind of backing he has. He certainly is more conservative than the other two. The way I see it is, again, I'm focused on Julie, but if Alex starts to take some prominence, there are significant differences between he and I. I would be going to D.C. with an experience of representing the citizens, representing the taxpayers. He has been in D.C. for many years. I mean, he's a Fed, and what he has done is come from the angle of representing the government, representing the various State Department-type agencies. Two very different things, two different approaches and methods of prioritizing spending. But so, what it really comes down to is me and Julie, and that's where the fight is.
Okay, so let me ask you this then. Since you think that the orchestration of these negative flyers and negative ads are going after you through the Fedorchuk campaign, do you think Julie Fedorchuk is ethical? Do you think that what she's done on the Public Service Commission in relation to Summit Carbon Solutions, for example, is ethical?
Well, let me give you a two-part answer there. First up, I don't think Julie is complicit. I think her campaign is complicit with what's going on with Finken. So I'm going to give her a pass on this. So it's Hoven and the old guard Republicans that are fully behind this. The Finken campaign is exactly what was done during my campaign against Hoven. So she's got all the same people. So the people that propped up her campaign are propping up this whole opposition type thing. Now, you asked me about, do I think she's ethical? I have serious concerns about her time on Public Service Commission. The money she's taken from the various entities, private businesses that she regulates is astonishing. Decisions that she makes for particular groups or particular businesses, and then gets campaign donation checks literally on Christmas Day following her decisions, and her remarks and her efforts to decrease the various changes for conflict of interest regulations. It's just one thing after another. And then also she's got land. She has a contract with the carbon dioxide pipeline folks, that when the pipeline is built, the carbon dioxide is going to be buried under her property.
Okay.
And she's going to make a big boatload of cash. And
the clock's got me.
Public Service Commissioner.
The clock's got me, Rick. Can you stick on for it longer, or you got to go?
No, I can stick on.
Okay. We'll take a little bit more on this right after. Welcome back to News and Views. We're getting a chance to visit with Rick Becker, a candidate for the United States Congress in the great state of North Dakota. We're talking with him a little bit about the campaign against him, but he said some comments before the bottom of the hour. He talked about, I asked him whether or not Julie Fedorchuk was ethical, in her job as a public service commissioner, because those questions have been raised in regards to land that she owns where Summit Carbon will be injecting carbon into the soil. And I want him to expand on that, because you made it sound like she wasn't ethical for what is being proposed and what's going to be done, along with being a public service commissioner at the same time. So I want to give you a chance to address that.
Okay. Well, right. There are a couple of points, and because there have been conflict of interest ethical questions that I think she has not met the minimum standard for many times over the years. But specifically, the thing that stands out so obviously to me and to others is we know by her own admission and reporting that she has a contract for Summit Carbon Solutions pipeline. When they dump CO2, they're going to dump it. When the pipeline is built, they'll dump the CO2 under her property. And she'll get paid for that. And there's a contract in place. I think she signed that contract in 2021, I believe. So she said that she's going to recuse herself from meetings where that with the Public Service Commission where they're doing siting of the pipeline. Okay, well, that's good. I mean, she should. The thing, though, is she should recuse herself and stay out of anything to do with the pipeline. So on one hand, she's giving the appearance that she's being ethical because she made this big public statement. I'm recusing from this particular type of meeting. But in the background, in her capacity as a PSC member, she is going around promoting the pipeline. She has gone to, and there's video of it. She has gone to a legislative committee meeting where they were discussing a bill which would have made it harder for the pipeline to get the pipeline through because of protecting private property rights. And she testified against it in her capacity as a PSC commissioner. And she is telling people, we need this. This is let's see here. I have the quote in front of me. There are times where property rights need to be curtailed. And we see that as utility regulators, we see the need for this infrastructure. It delivers reliable service. Energy service to people that we all rely on. She's talking about CO2. No, that's not energy service. I don't know what she's talking about. But the point is, she is promoting at all times getting this pipeline through because she will be enriched when it does go through. And her very meager attempt to recuse herself from a particular type of meeting while going in the background promoting this every chance she gets, yeah, that's unethical. You tell me, Joel, why hasn't there been an ethics complaint? I have no idea. I'm not going to file it because I don't want the appearance of that.
Was this land that her family always owned? Or is this land that because some people are getting in touch with me saying that she knew ahead of time where this was going to be injected and then she bought the land. And I have a hard time just flat out believing that's true. And so you know, through your investigation, whether or not this was land that she just purchased or if this was land that her family owned for quite a while?
I don't know the answer to that. Yeah, okay. I don't know. I've heard the same thing, and I suppose we should look into it. But the point is, you know, when we do find this, we already know she's being unethical. So I don't know to what degree I want to focus more attention on that. I want to
Do you support the pipeline?
Try and promote my campaign.
Do I support the pipeline? Yeah.
No, I don't. No, my biggest concern with the pipeline is the eminent domain, the just stomping on private property rights. They're fighting with the North Dakota farmers and ranchers to put this pipeline through. There are a lot of concerns I have with it, safety wise. There are a lot of concerns I have with it. It definitely wouldn't be going through if it weren't for this whole federal subsidized 45Q credit. Right. So the taxpayers are paying for something that's experimental, that is not going to even really have any effect on overall global CO2 levels. And we're stomping on private property rights. So, yeah, there's a lot of things wrong with this pipeline.
Well, from my standpoint, when I look at it, I've spoken to them. I've encouraged them to come on the radio and take cold calls. Come on the radio as some in radio have done and gone out and botched whatever information they intended to get out there. And I think you and I both know who we're talking about. If you're going to have a good public discussion Don't violate open meetings laws. Don't violate any of that. Just have an open discussion. And so if they were sitting in this chair next to me, we'd turn on the phone lines. And if they can't answer the questions that would come to them, then they don't have a good project. And no. I don't get that, Rick. I don't get the kind of step away from the public having access to them in a way other than is structured by a friend of theirs who's hypocrisized himself on carbon capture.
Yeah. Well, you know, this is kind of a lane that you and I fully agree on. People should be heard. If you have ideas, if you have policies, if you have votes, you should be able to go under scrutiny. You should be held accountable. You should be able to discuss it. But these folks, like what Julie represents and Pat Finken and his Brighter Future Alliance, represent something that's entirely different. They want to storm through. They think they're better and smarter than the rest of us. They want, through repetition of lies, to propagandize and manipulate people into thinking exactly what they want them to think, to vote how they want them to vote, and to never be held accountable or go under scrutiny. And that's wrong.
Okay. We've got a call. Kurt, you're on with Rick. Go ahead.
Yeah, good morning, Joel. I wanted to comment on something former Representative Becker said regarding his vote on the resolution urging Congress to build the border wall. And I have to qualify what I'm about to say by saying that I probably won't be voting for Rick Becker. But I think on this one, I think he made the right vote. And here's why. He and I would have different reasons for why we would vote against it. What people need to understand is any of these resolutions that urge Congress to take a particular action aren't worth the paper they are written on. They have absolutely no teeth in them. And when they arrive in Washington, D.C., they have machines to deal with that. They're called paper shredders. Nobody pays any attention to them. The only resolutions that have any teeth whatsoever would be resolutions petitioning Congress to convene an Article 5 Amendments Convention. That's it. Anything urging Congress to do any action is a total waste of time. And I saw a lot over the years that I was in the Senate, I saw a lot of time wasted on these resolutions where people thought they were really accomplishing something when in fact they were accomplishing nothing.
Okay. Thank you, Kurt. Rick, your answer to that.
Well, yeah, Kurt's exactly right. It's political theater. And sometimes, you know, maybe it's worth it. But again, in this particular circumstance, it was silly. It's already done.
I mean, where Kurt's right is they mean nothing. It's just a statement, right?
Oh, yeah.
I agree. I'll give you a perfect example. We had a resolution, pointing out that square dancing was the state's dance, right? And I had a colleague who's passed away recently, Judy Demers, who wouldn't vote for it. She said, "I'm not voting for this. It's a waste of time. I said, "Don't you like square dance?" She looked at me and she just walked away and shook her head. And I was just being facetious when I said it, you know, but I get it. I understand it. And quite frankly, these issues are a little more serious than square dancing. But the resolutions, as somebody who sat in one of those chairs, don't mean diddly. And I have no doubt my name was on some of them. But Rick, in terms of the public getting to know the differences between you and a Julie Fedorchik, how are you going to do that without money? Have you raised money?
Yeah, we've got, over 700 thousand cash on hand. We continue to raise money. So our advertising, we've been a bit quiet. Senator Rand Paul, has been running ads for me, or not for me, but he's been running ads that are favorable to me. That's been great. Our own advertising campaign, we're going to start hitting it next week. And you'll see a lot of that. You'll see the money being spent. And we're going to continue going out to the various events. There are some debates coming up. I love the debates because that's where we actually can bring about our ideas and be challenged. And when people see Julie and me in a debate, they recognize who's really got the stuff and who's really just about fluff.
Somebody texts in and says, does Rick support the Roosevelt Library?
I don't support taxpayer funding of the Roosevelt Library. Not at all, no.
Okay. Does he feel being a part of the Freedom Caucus in Washington is the best direction for U.S. House members such as himself?
I do, absolutely. Yes, there are some fun characters in the House Freedom Caucus, but the thing is, if we're going to try and get control of spending, we have to have people willing to stand up against this establishment. And the only people I see doing that are the House Freedom Caucus.
Another question comes in and says, would he, meaning you, get rid of the current Speaker of the House, like others in the Freedom Caucus are attempting to do?
Well, that's a great question. I believe I would. I have to qualify that a little bit. There's a lot of stuff that goes on behind the scenes, as you know, and I'm not privy to any of that. But I can tell you that Speaker Johnson has really let us down, let me down with some of what he's passed, with the spending, the omnibus being the deciding vote on warrants for with the reenactment of the FISA. Really significant things, really basic things that our speaker should be supporting. So I would be very interested in replacing. I'm a guy, I always like to have a plan, so I don't want to just throw a bomb and see what happens. So overall, yes, I'd like to see him replaced.
Okay. A number of other things here saying that the chaos that Congress and the Republicans in Congress have brought on America, how would you fix that?
Well, a lot of the chaos, I think that when we talk about chaos in Congress, a lot of it is media stuff. What I care about is what actually comes out in law. Well,
if you're shutting down the government, Rick, that isn't media stuff. I mean, if you're not funding Ukraine, that isn't media stuff. If you're not funding Israel, that isn't media stuff. Agreed?
Well, yeah, but it's also not chaos. If you're funding Ukraine, that's a very specific decision. That's financial, fiscal, and there's good discussion. That's not chaos. It's either
if
you're
shutting down the government. If you're shutting down the government, that's chaos, right?
No, it's not actually chaos. The people still get their Social Security checks. People are still paid. Federal employees are still paid, although maybe delayed. And so federal parks get closed down. So, yeah, do you want to just always have the federal government shut down anytime there's a debate? No. But should you completely collapse on your principles because you're worried about how it might look that the federal government shuts down? No, I don't think you should.
Okay.
That's how we got into the position we're currently at, $35 trillion in debt. That has to stop.
Where do they find your work? What's your website? Tell them where to find it.
RickBecker2024.com. RickBecker2024.com. Thanks, Joel.
Always enjoy our conversations.